All right, so we're 11 episodes into this journey that we're on, where we're trying to treat Jocko's podcast as a military history course. So this is the first time that he hasn't covered like a book. So they talk about the time that him and Leif spent in Iraq, but I don't really know where we should take this discussion today.
I kind of had, you know, that feeling like, I don't know what it's called. It's not quite. Well, anyway, let me just describe it. But like when these guys are talking about like being in the SEALs and in these horrible situations, they talk about it with such like sweet remembrance. Like they love this it, even the worst part of it. They love it. They want to be there. And you know, Jocko started off with his retirement speech, and he kind of peppered in like this. Anybody who wants to travel into the worst part with the worst spot with the worst like concentration of enemies, like this and that, and
the lowest chance of survival.
And the lowest chance of survival. Put your name on the board, and he like left the room and came back like a few minutes later, and everybody put their name on the board. I can't remember what the context was, but that really stuck out on me. It's like all these guys want to be here.
You just said something that I think is interesting, because you're talking about how dangerous the situation is, yet they. And how, you know, how much of a struggle and how much work they had to do to get to the point where they could go into combat. And it's something that they wanted to do all their lives. Like Jocko said, same with Leif, you know, I never thought of doing anything else. Like I knew I was going to go and serve in the military. But the juxtaposition between like the danger you're in and the brotherhood that you're part of, I understand why Jocko uses the word dichotomy so much. Because if you look up the definition, it's a division or contrast between two things that are represented as being opposed or entirely different. And so for people that didn't go through that experience, I think it's very common. Like, you know, somebody that hasn't gone through an experience of war, you hear these stories that we've been hearing now for 11 weeks. And for people on the outside, it's like, wow, that must be amazing to escape. And of course it is. But you also hear the melancholy of when they are out of the military and now they're back in civilian life, and yeah, how much they miss it, which I think that's like a clear illustration of
that's
of
like harder dichotomy. That's like harder to understand almost, because, you know, we're not ever in that situation or in that type of like working as a unit to that level and then coming back to like normal rules of society. It's yeah, you're right. Dichotomy is it's a complete spectrum. I can only imagine, right? Like two extremes.
And you can kind of see in you referenced Jocko's retirement speech, and you can kind of see the fact that, you know, he spoke before. I think both of his parents were English majors. I know he was an English major. He clearly reads a lot. He clearly writes a lot.
I thought he was a communication major.
No, English major.
Okay.
He's clearly writes a lot. He just started his own book publishing company because he was writing books so fast that the publisher couldn't get them out in time. So he said, okay, I'll just do it myself.
Awesome.
But he has some beautiful language that I just want to read. And it's beautiful because it's also scary because of the subject matter he's talking about. But he says, before man was, war waited for him. As long as man is, war will always be.
Yeah, like if you look at the Venn diagram of Jocko, like same thing like with like Joe Rogan, like it almost just doesn't make sense. Like this guy's kind of a meathead, but yet there's this enlightenment to him that makes him more of a complete and full character.
Like, okay, you just kind of accidentally segued into something. So
there's no accidents. This is
well, we didn't talk in advance about this, but I was sitting here thinking, I was like, okay, well, you know, since we're not, this is the first podcast that we haven't really dug into too much military history other than their time in Iraq. So I was like, what are we going to talk about? And I think we need to talk about like self-improvement and commitment, using the examples that they talked about with some of their people that they served in Iraq with. But what you just said about, like, you know, people say, okay, there's this guy, he's in the military, he's into martial arts, he's into guns, he's into surfing. These are all physical, you know, these are these are all elements of like physical culture, right?
Yeah.
And so usually people see somebody like that and they think like, you know, meathead or whatever the case is, where he clearly invests a lot of time and he understands the benefits of investing and improving yourself physically. But at the same time, he's doing a podcast where he's reading a book a week. He's read hundreds of books throughout his life. He clearly studies and like, he's also what I like about him, what I find so admirable is that he also invests in his mind, because he understands like the analogy I would use is that the mind is to the body what software is to hardware, you mm-hmm. know, and that you need both. So I think my point is you can't, it's not either or. It's not, oh, I'm going to spend all my time learning and trying to get smarter and nothing on the physical condition of my body, or the reverse of that. Oh, I'm going to spend all the time in the gym or running or doing all these things
yeah.
and not spend any time. Like, you need both. So what I really want to talk to you about is I think the main takeaway from this podcast is just that there is varying levels of dedication and commitment that you can have. So let's talk about this guy, Biggles, because they were talking about how he was struggling with his, like, he wasn't in shape
like for the physical part.
Yeah, he was struggling, and they talked about that, like, he looked himself in the mirror and said that this is what I want to do, meaning become a SEAL and not let like his teammates down. So they also talk about that while everyone is resting, he's going out for runs, pull-ups, and working, and that after, Jocko called it the physical transformation remarkable, and so they gave him a new name. They started calling him Biggles 2000. And what was interesting with that is that guy's passed away. He's in Iraq. He gets shot in the face by a sniper.
Yeah.
Survives. Then Jocko goes to visit him in the hospital, right? And the guy's like, hey, I want to go back. And at this time, the Biggles is blind, completely blind. And he tells Jocko that, don't worry, I can still like help out. I can smell them.
Yeah, it was pretty
fun. And then the reason I'm using that short story about different levels of commitment, which is what, like, I feel like when by listening to Jocko's podcast, I get like a refill of motivation, because inspiration and motivation is perishable. But then you hear about this guy, not only does he get shot, he's completely blind. He comes back to the United States and he winds up summiting Mount Rainier completely blind.
Yeah, and he hunted elk too. I thought that was a great story.
Yeah, they talked about him and Leif went on elk hunt with this other, I forgot the name of the organization, but he died from complications of surgery. I think he went through like 30 different surgeries.
It's upsetting.
So yeah, I think that's just like a reminder. You said it before. I don't know if you said it earlier in this conversation or before, but like 24 hours is a long time. Like, you can do a lot. If you focus on not wasting any time and you really have an idea of how you want, like what you want to do every day, we can just do so much more. Like, I feel like we're all sitting on like vast reservoirs of potential, and a very small percentage of people ever tap that reservoir. Okay. And most of them just live their life atop it, but never actually like utilize it.
Yeah. And that was like one of the first, introduction. I hesitate to call it an aphorism, and I can't even remember. I think it was like sometime in high school, like a teacher actually said that. And it's just like, you know what, you have something in common with all these uber successful people that we're talking about. It's like, you all have the same 24 hours in a day. You know what I mean? And that's like one way to look at time. And like, yeah, I guess I do. I need to utilize it better. And then you just have like this better outlook of time management. So it worked for me. And I really like the saying. It's just like when you look at guys like Warren Buffett, it's like, that guy has the same 24 hours you do. Like Jocko Willing, that guy has the same 24 hours that you do in a day. There's nothing different. It's what you make of it. It's what you do. It's on you.
So that kind of segues into the importance of like how you approach things, like the mindset. Yeah. I really liked at the beginning of the podcast, and this is probably the second lesson that I took away, and kind of relates to the first one. It's Leif was talking about joining the Navy specifically because he wanted to be a Navy SEAL. And turns out his first time through, he's like, I did not get selected for the SEAL teams. That was crushing for me. It was a soul-crushing event for me. And then, so, you know, if anybody's really wanted something, worked really hard for it, and understands the disappointment that could happen with failure. But what I found most interesting is his response. So his response was to work harder and persevere. Mm-hmm. And he did so over another 3 years until he finally got in. And then he talks about, like, you know, before he was kind of brash and immature, he felt like that three-year period of having to deal with failure and then working your way back to where you wanted to be made him a more mature person. But what was striking to me, he talked about, because he went through that failure first, right? By the time he gets to Buds, he's like, during Buds, people were whining about how tough the training was. And he's like, I was just fired up to be there.
Yeah. And I liked how they were talking about how, like, you know, when they're out there on the beach just carrying logs and just, like, running in and out of the waves, like, that's just kind of like an entry exam. And, like, the real stuff actually happens later. And that's the one thing that we're all familiar with. And I always thought, like, it can't just be this for SEAL, you know, like I guess it's called Buds, but it can't just be this. And I'm glad they clarified it a little bit on, like, yeah, there's more than just, like, carrying logs with a like.
No, I've heard him. Jocko mentions it all the time. He's like, listen, it's not a big deal. It's just a process that's an initial few days to weed out the people that will quit.
Yeah.
And so the idea that people are like, oh, I pressed SEAL training. Now, granted, like, that still is an impressive feat. But his point is, like, it pales in comparison. Like, you're getting a little wet. You're doing some PT. It's not the same thing as being shot at or killed or, like, anything else. No. So it's just not, when you look at it, like, put it into perspective, it's just not as important as, you know, actual combat is. Nothing really is. I mean, because they're sacrificing the most, they're putting on the line their most valuable, what they own in their life. Yeah. So,
you know, I was thinking about when they were talking about Chris Kyle and the other guys that surrounded that story and how they got, like, Hollywood got, like, some of the characters wrong, and I guess they just took liberties with it and just did what they wanted to instead of just going for accuracy. What would you do if they made a movie about us and they just got me wrong? Would you be upset? And especially if that guy died, you know, like, I mean, that's a whole nother layer to that conversation.
I would go into it assuming that they're going to get it wrong.
Right?
Yeah. Cause I just feel that, have you ever heard of we might've talked about it before. Have you heard of the Gell-Mann amnesia effect?
Gell-Mann? No.
Yeah. Okay. No, so this is something that, Let me look it up to make sure I get it correct. But, okay, so this is the quote I'm going to write or read you right now. It's coming from Michael Crichton. And it says, briefly stated, the Gell-Mann amnesia effect. It's named after Murray Gell-Mann, who is an American physicist who received the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1969. But it says, briefly stated, the Gell-Mann amnesia effect is as follows. You open the newspaper to an article on some subject you know well. In Murray's case, physics. In mine, show business. You read the article and see the journalist has absolutely no understanding of either the facts or the issues. Often, the article is so wrong it actually presents the story backward, reversing cause and effect. I call these wet streets causes rain stories. The paper is full of them. In any case, you read with exasperation or amusement the multiple errors in a story and then turn the page to national or international affairs and read it as if the rest of the newspaper was somehow more accurate about Palestine than the baloney you just read. You turn the page and you forget what you know. So I learned about that several years ago, and that's why, like, I just assume that unless you were there, you had first-person experience, like, you're going to get the information wrong. So especially, like, in a movie, like, they're going to have to – it's a business. They're trying to sell an entertainment product.
Of course, yeah.
So it's not – like, their initial goal is not accuracy. It's profit. So, you know, I hate to use that quote I use all the time, but Thomas Edison, like, we know 1/10,000th of 1% of anything. Like, we just don't know anything. Humans are – you know, it's the – we live in a very complex environment, so there's too much information for us to ever think we have a grasp on it, you know? Okay. So yeah, I would just expect them to get it incorrect. I don't even know if I'd watch the movie.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but, you know.
No, I'm not talking about American Sniper. I'm talking about a movie about you. Like,
okay.
Like, let's say you did something in your life that is worthy of them doing a movie about. Like, I've known you enough time. Like, I got the real experience. I don't know if I'd watch the movie. So, Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that, other than just assume that what you're reading and what you're taking in is probably not accurate.
I really like, did you have that prepared to read? That was like perfect to hear.
No.
Right now. Like,
no.
Wet,
I don't. How would I have known you were gonna? How would I have known you were gonna ask me that question? No,
I don't know.
You thought you said it, and then of course I have Google in front of me, so I just looked it up real quick. But
I'm just Sergeant Segway today. You know, it's coming through.
Well, I like. Who knows? You know, in a conversation, like, that's why I always say it's a good idea to collect ideas, because when you collect ideas, you're responding to the environment around you, and you don't know, like, you could read or learn something now that you might not even think about or be useful to your life for 5 or 10 years from now.
You never know.
Yeah. So who knows? And who knows how, like, that response, you said something, and then, you know, it's not like I chose, oh, let me pull this out. Like, my brain just said, hey, that sounds familiar. Maybe we've heard of something like this before. Oh, wait. And then, you know, it kind of puts that thought to the front of your mind so you can use it or not. But I have no idea how that process even works, you know?
Yeah. I love it. I love it how the podcast, like, this is really just like kind of a storytelling podcast for the most part, where they're talking about going to Vegas and just like throwing down $100 hands and just like that kind of living, you know? Because they got to think that they could, any day could be their last. Could you imagine the weight of that? Like, anytime you could be deployed and you just go out and you're like, all right, well, here's the worst part of Iraq during this conflict. Why don't you go there? And okay, so they just have like a few days in Vegas and they're just going nuts. So I really enjoyed just seeing like that side of it, because a lot of the times Jocko's always in the ether, and this time it was more like, here's some downtime, here's some good guys that I've got to meet, and this is my buddy Leif, who's going to tell some stories too. Like, this was a good podcast. I'm glad we uncovered it, even though it has it's like the lighter side of the Jocko podcast, but for listening the way we are, this one was pretty entertaining. It was just like a fun conversation to be listening to. Now,
all right. So I think we covered this one enough. I kind of want to look forward to the next week's podcast. I just looked up the book that they're going to cover, and it's called The Forgotten Highlander, an incredible World War II story of survival in the Pacific. So this is interesting, because on the podcast we talked about last week, Jocko recommends watching The Pacific on HBO. Yeah. And I watched the first two episodes, and it's pretty good so far. But I want to read the description of the book that we're going to cover next week, because I don't think I heard this podcast before, and it sounds pretty gruesome. And I looked at the show notes, and it said right after he's done with the book review that it says Jocko will never complain about anything again. So that, I think that's a good.
Let's
and I was like,
that's
a curious. That's a curious statement. Why, you know, what could have happened at this part in the podcast that caused him to make that statement? Well, this guy, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but it's Alistair Urquhart. So let's just call him Alistair. He was captured by the Japanese in Singapore during World War II. This is the book description that's on Amazon. He not only survived 750 days in the jungle working as a slave on the notorious Death Railway and the bridge to River Kwai, but he's subsequently taken prisoner on one of the Japanese hell ships, which was later torpedoed, killing nearly everyone on board, but he survived. He spent 5 days adrift on a raft in the South China Sea before being rescued by a Japanese whaling ship. He was then taken back to Japan and forced to work in a mine near Nagasaki. 2 months later, no, it gets worse, Rob. 2 months later, he was struck by the blast from the atomic bomb dropped 10 miles away from him. In late August 1945, now a barely living skeleton, he was freed by the American Navy and was able to bathe for the first time in 3.5 years.
So this is going to be interesting, that podcast.
Yeah, so I'm looking it up right now to see if it's on Audible. If you guys want to get 2 free audiobooks, we leave a link in the show notes of every podcast where you can actually try Audible for free, and you get 2 free audiobooks. Even if you don't continue with Audible, those 2 free audiobooks are yours. Like, to keep forever. So I definitely recommend doing it. The Forgotten Highlanders on Audible, and not only that, I just looked up both of Jocko and Leif's books. Extreme Ownership and then the Economy of Leadership are also on Audible. So if you want to listen to those, if you haven't yet, and best of all, they're narrated by Jocko and Leif. And if I can just do a shameless plug in case you happen to be interested in starting companies or building companies, I also have another podcast called Founders, where I do very much what Jocko, similar to what Jocko does. Instead of reading books about war, I read autobiographies or biographies of people, of entrepreneurs from the past, people that have built companies, and pull out ideas that are useful in life. And you can find that at founderspodcast.com or on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else. I'll also leave the links in the show notes. And that's all I got. Anything else, Rob, before we depart?
No, I'm looking forward to that now. You just pumped me up for the next Jocko.
I am too. That sounds amazing. So I'm going to have to, I have 2 Audible credits. I'm going to have to pick that one up because I need to hear. I mean, that's just talking about the limits of human, like our capacity to not only struggle, but like the conviction and to work harder. We talked about Biggles who climb out or near blind. Like we can clearly all be doing much more in our lives to make the most out of our short time here. So, all right, Rob, I will talk to you next week.
Later, bro.